Well, mistakes were made, but Trump out-debated, out-argued, and outspoke Hillary in debate number three, at least according to my calculations. Hillary sounded shrill, mechanical, harsh, loud, and angry during much of the debate. Trump posted his most restrained debate and yet still had characteristic moments of interruption and comedic one-liners. Now, Hillary seemed intent on provoking Donald into lashing out, and yet in the beginning he kept his cool and answered thoughtfully, not mugging, making faces, interrupting. It was Hillary who insisted on running over time and into Trump's his period, sometimes by minutes. Finally, Donald began to talk over that, undoubtedly with the feeling he could not let her continue to embargo him and speak uninterruptedly into his time. And yet, of course, Hillary did have her moments. Yes, she did have her moments. But Trump refused to say he'd honor the winner, which is the only thing that people are talking about, which says to me that he won the debate. Yet his ending remarks were strong. Here they are. She's raising the money from the people she wants to control. It doesn't work that way. When I started this campaign, I started it very strongly. It's called Make America Great Again. We're going to make America great. We have a depleted military. It has to be helped. It has to be fixed. We have the greatest people on the earth in our military. We don't take care of our veterans. We take care of illegal immigrants, people that come into the country illegally, better than we take care of our vets. That can't happen. Our policemen and women are disrespected. We need law and order, but we need justice too. Our inner cities are a disaster. You get shot walking to the store. They have no education. They have no jobs. I will do more for for African-Americans and Latinos than she can ever do in 10 lifetimes. All she's done is talk to the African-Americans and to the Latinos. But they get the vote, and then they come back. They say, we'll see you in 4 years. We are going to make America strong again, and we're going to make America great again, and it has to start now. We cannot take 4 more years of Barack Obama, and that's what you get when you get her. I thought it was an exceptionally strong ending to a debate in which I think that there were mistakes made by his part. And, you know, anytime you're watching people debate, you have no idea how much pressure they're under and if there's 100 million people watching. And obviously, to put myself in his shoes, I'm on the show every day and you know, I'm used to talking live. But, you know, I really think that, and I don't claim to be a better speaker than him or oralist or anything, but there's a couple of things that frustrated me, and maybe they frustrated you, maybe you didn't catch them, maybe, you know, there's probably other things that you saw during the debate that chances that maybe I didn't pick up on. But to me, when she says, you know, he's disrespected these women, you know, he has done these atrocious things. And then the host says, well, what about the accusations from the women? If I was going to, you know, give him advice, one of the things I'd say is get off this idea that you're here to defend yourself, because you're really here to promote your program. Attack her program, promote your program. You really don't want to get caught up in, you know, every time somebody insults you, to spend it's wasted time to defend yourself like that. But I would have said, we looked, you know, when these accusations started coming out, funny enough, right after this embarrassing clip of something idiotic that I said, all of these women came out of the woodwork. He did say it was probably her campaign, but what he didn't say was, we've looked into the first couple, in the first lady, her story collapsed like a house of cards. There just happened to be a gentleman who was on the same row as us who said it couldn't have happened because he was there and he was aware of what was going on. And she claims that I lifted the armrest to touch her. Well, in that particular plane, in those days, you couldn't raise the armrest. And the plane that she said that she was on wasn't used by the airline at that time. And so, you know, and just shoot her down, shoot her into pieces. He did a good job. He didn't do a great job. And then the other one that he missed that was would have been a spectacular comeback is she was talking about being in the decision room when Osama bin Laden was taken out. And I would have paused and said, yes, but where were you when the Benghazi attack started? And why didn't you do anything then? And it wouldn't matter what her answer was at that point. That would have been devastating. But I think overall, you know, Hillary did okay. But, you know, when she sounds angry, loud, shrill, mechanical, that's not a good sound. And I think it reinforces this idea that there's something profoundly wrong with her. You know, whether that's fair or not, I think that's the that's the problem. Now, you know, a lot of people are saying he was winning until this terrible mistake. I would, you know, I think the way that he started, I think that he won. He misspeaks. There's claims of voter fraud out there. There are statements that basically there's millions of ballots, millions of dead people are voting. And I mean, obviously that's totally unacceptable, but it's been a problem before. It was a problem. As a matter of fact, experts say that JFK really didn't win the race against Nixon. He outpolled him through dead people in Chicago of all places. So, but I think that, you know, what you need to say is, of course I'll accept it, but if people bring me credible stories and proof that there has been voter disenfranchisement and voter fraud, what am I supposed to do? I'm the head of my party. I think that's what he should have said. So I don't know. I mean, I don't think that this isn't the knockout punch he needed, but I was kind of thinking on the way over here, and I had something I'd mentioned to you days ago, this book that was written by Alistair McIntyre called After Virtue. In it, he describes the point that we're at. And if you've got a person who's conservative and you've got a person who is not a conservative, they're both going to watch the same movies or the same world events and take radically different positions on them because their value system is different. You're going to be hard pressed to get these people to admit anything that is important to you. But there was some really spectacular information that a friend of mine called me. One of my friends from Florida, Dave, called me up and he insisted that I look at something. And I looked at it. My jaw hit the floor. My jaw hit the floor, and I'll tell you about it in a minute. Just trying to think of one other. What I find remarkable about this campaign, and Hillary found a very clever way to do it. They had this tape in which Trump is saying these things that are totally, totally unacceptable. They play them right before, a couple of weeks before the end of the campaign, and then they get all these women to stand up and claim that he's assaulted him. And somehow she figured out a way to, turn his sex life or his treatment of women into the issue, not her husband's. And now in the meantime, another woman who was sexually assaulted by Bill Clinton has come out. She was a reporter in, I think, Little Rock or somewhere in Arkansas. I think that's the story. I didn't listen to the clip. But his and Trump's or Clinton's kid, his black kid, the supposed black kid, Danny Williams Clinton, is said that where he's filing suit against Bill Clinton. might be a little too little. I don't know. I mean, I don't think this is the knockout punch that Trump needed, but I don't think, given the state of the media totally opposed to Trump, that anybody would ever admit that he had a knockout punch. Here is, though, I thought she had a crazy rant against guns that was weird. Obviously very, very stirred up on the topic. But, you know, some of the news that has come out about her having these sexual things going on through this Hollywood agent or whoever he was, her getting, being able to seduce starlets or whatever, female stars. It was weird. It has not been covered in the media whatsoever, although there's supposed to be evidence of that. But the news that came out, I'm going to tell you about the news that came out in just a second on it's called Veritas. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 617-523-1450 on KOBE, AM Las Cruces. We'll be right back. All right, I'm just going to start playing debate clips for you. Here is Here's one in which I think Hillary sounded absolutely, as she sounds like, you know, there's something about Hillary, and I was talking to my friend last night, put aside the fact that she's got a reputation for lying all the time, which she clearly does lie all the time. It's not a reputation, some random reputation. It's a reputation based in fact. She's constantly caught telling lies, and it doesn't seem to slow her down at all. But anyway, be that as it may, put that aside. Just listening to her, there is something about the way that she talks that is sounds deceptive. I know that might sound funny, but there is just, I don't know what it is. And what I want to know is what percentage of people on the left or whatever people are voting for her pick up on that and still support her. Here is, well, I've got so many different clips here. Here is I'm just going to start playing them off for you. Energy grid and crossing borders, open trade and open work. This was a ridiculous statement that Clinton made, that, you know, and I think that what Trump should have said was, when she came up with this lie, I think he really should have said, did Honest Abe also come up with this one for you? But here we go.
Immigration reform, and George W. Bush supported it as well.
Secretary Clinton, I want to clear up your position on this issue, because in a speech you gave to a Brazilian bank for which you were paid $225,000, we've learned from the WikiLeaks that you said this, and I want to quote, "My dream is a hemispheric common market with open trade and open borders." So that's
Thank
the
you.
Question. That's the question. Please quiet everybody. Is that your dream, open borders?
Well, if you went on to read the rest of the sentence, I was talking about energy. You know, we trade more energy with our neighbors than we trade with the rest of the world combined. And I do want us to have an electric grid, an energy system that crosses borders. I think that will be a great benefit to us. You are very clearly quoting from WikiLeaks. And what's really important about WikiLeaks is that the Russian government has engaged in espionage against Americans. They have hacked American websites, American accounts of private people, of institutions. Then they have given that information to WikiLeaks for the purpose of putting it on the internet. This has come from the highest levels of the Russian government, clearly from Putin himself, in an effort, as 17 of our intelligence agencies have confirmed, to influence our election. So I actually think the most important question of this evening, Chris, is finally, will Donald Trump admit and condemn that the Russians are doing this and make it clear that he will not have the help of Putin in this election, that he rejects Russian espionage against Americans, which he actually encouraged in the past? Those are the questions we need answered. We've never had anything like this happen in any of our elections before.
That was a great pivot off the fact that you want open borders. Okay. How did we get off to Putin?
Hold on. Hold on, folks, because this is going to end up getting out of control. Let's try to keep it quiet so for the candidates and for the American people.
So just to finish on the borders,
yes.
She wants open borders. People are going to pour into our country. People are going to come in from Syria. She wants 550% more people than Barack Obama. And he has thousands and thousands of people. They have no idea where they come from. And you see, we are going to stop radical Islamic terrorism in this country.
One of the things that she does that I find not really bizarre, but it's this trained response that she puts a real big smile on her face when Donald says something that is either painfully true or a devastating point on her, you know, policy or anything personal. She puts this giant smile on her face. You can't miss that. The next time you watch her, just notice that. I know they're not going to debate again, but
she won't even mention the words, and neither will President Obama. So I just want to tell you, she wants open borders. Now we can talk about Putin. I don't know Putin. He said nice things about me. If we got along well, that would be good. If Russia and the United States got along well and went after ISIS, that would be good. He has no respect for her. He has no respect for our president. And I'll tell you what, we're in very serious trouble because we have a country with tremendous numbers of nuclear warheads, 1,800, by the way, where they expanded and we didn't, 1,800 nuclear warheads, and she's playing chicken. Look, Putin, from everything I see, has no respect for this person.
Well, that's because he'd rather have a puppet as president of the United States.
No puppet.
And it's pretty clear.
You're the puppet.
It's pretty clear you won't admit
that the
Russians have engaged in cyber attacks against the United States of America, that you encouraged espionage against our people, that you are willing to spout the Putin line, sign up for his wish list, break up NATO, do whatever he wants to do, and that you continue to get help from him because he has a very clear favorite in this race. So I think that this is such an unprecedented situation. We've never had a foreign government trying to interfere in our election. We have 17 intelligence agencies, civilian and military, who have all concluded that these espionage attacks, these cyber attacks, come from the highest levels of the Kremlin, and they are designed to influence our elections. I find that deeply disturbing.
Secretary,
and I think it's
she
time.
She has no idea whether it's Russia, China, or anybody else.
I am not quoting myself.
No idea.
I am quoting
Hillary, you
17,
have no idea.
17 intelligence. Do you doubt 17
our
military
has
and
no
civilian
idea.
Agencies? Well,
yeah,
he'd rather believe Vladimir Putin than the military and civilian intelligence professionals who are sworn to protect us. I find that just absolutely
she doesn't
right.
like
Mr.
Putin because Putin Mr. has outsmarted her at every
Mr.
step
Trump,
of the way.
Excuse me.
Putin has
Mr.
outsmarted
Trump,
her in
Mr.
Syria.
Trump,
he's outsmarted her
here.
Every
I do get
step
to,
of the way.
I do get to ask some questions.
Yes, sir.
I ask you this direct question. The top national security officials of this country do believe that Russia has been behind these hacks. Even if you don't know for sure whether they are, do you condemn any interference by Russia in the American election?
By Russia or anybody else?
You condemn their interference?
Of course I condemn. Of course I can. I don't know Putin. I have no idea.
I'm asking
I never met Putin. This is not my best friend. But if the United States got along with Russia, wouldn't be so bad. Let me tell you, Putin has outsmarted her and Obama at every single step of the way, whether it's Syria, you name it, missiles. Take a look at the startup that they signed. The Russians have said, according to many, many reports, I can't believe they allowed us to do this. They create warheads and we can't. The Russians can't believe it. She has been outsmarted by Putin, and all you have to do is look at the Middle East. They've taken over. We've spent $6 trillion. They've taken over the Middle East. She has been outsmarted and outplayed worse than anybody I've ever seen in any government whatsoever.
We're a long way away.
All right, that's just one of these exchanges. And here is another broadside against Hillary from Trump. This is probably about the most acrimonious thing that he said about her.
I am on record as saying that we need to put more money into the Social Security Trust Fund. That's part of my commitment to raise taxes on the wealthy. My Social Security payroll contribution will go up, as will Donald's, assuming he can't figure out how to get out of it. But what we want to do is to replenish the Social Security Trust Fund by making sure that we have sufficient resources. And that will come from either raising the cap and or finding other ways to get more money into it. I will not cut benefits. I want to enhance benefits for low-income workers and for women who have been disadvantaged by the current Social Security system.
All right, we'll take a little break here and come back for some more clips. 6:30, Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. We'll come right back. All right, folks, here's a little bit more. People wanted to know about the thing, the first thing to come into people's minds, I think, the so-called sex assaults. Here's that.
Get to foreign hotspots in a few moments, but the next segment is fitness to be president of the United States. Mr. Trump, at the last debate, you said your talk about grabbing women was just that, talk, and that you'd never actually done it. And since then, as we all know, 9 women have come forward and said that you either groped them or kissed them without their consent. Why would so many different women from so many different circumstances over so many different years, why would they all in this last couple of weeks make up, you denied us, why would they all make up these stories? And since this is a question for both of you, Secretary Clinton, Mr. Trump says what your husband did and that you defended was even worse. Mr. Trump, you go first.
Well, first of all, those stories have been largely debunked. Those people, I don't know those people. I have a feeling how they came. I believe it was her campaign that did it. Just like if you look at what came out today on the clips, where I was wondering what happened with my rally in Chicago and other rallies where we had such violence. She's the one in Obama that caused the violence. They hired people and $1,500, and they're on tape saying, be violent, cause fights, do bad things. I would say the only way, because those stories are all totally false, I have to say that. And I didn't even apologize to my wife, who's sitting right here, because I didn't do anything. I didn't know any of these women. I didn't see these women. These women, the woman on the plane, the woman, I think they want either fame or her campaign did it. And I think it's her campaign, because what I saw, what they did, which is a criminal act, by the way, where they're telling people to go out and start fistfights and start violence. And I'll tell you what, in particular in Chicago, people were hurt and people could have been killed in that riot. And that was now all on tape, started by her. I believe, Chris, that she got these people to step forward. If it wasn't, they get their 10 minutes of fame. But they were all totally, it was all fiction. It was lies and it was fiction.
Well,
I mean, you know, if this campaign had not come out the way that it had, and I don't know how else it would have, I just don't see that she wins. She's terrible at answering questions that are bad. Now, here's something. I'm trying to play something that makes Clinton look good here. Here's a, or not Clinton, but Clinton, because it was back and forth. You know, there were good moments for each candidate. But here's something that Hillary gets up on Donald.
Tradition in this country, in fact, one of the prides of this country, is the peaceful transition of power, and that no matter how hard fought a campaign is, that at the end of the campaign, that the loser concedes to the winner. Not saying that you're necessarily going to be the loser or the winner, but that the loser concedes to the winner and that the country comes together in part for the good of the country. Are you saying you're not prepared now to commit to that principle?
What I'm saying is that I will tell you at the time. I'll keep you in suspense.
Well,
okay?
Chris, let me respond to that, because that's horrifying. You know, every time Donald thinks things are not going in his direction, he claims whatever it is rigged against him. The FBI conducted a year-long investigation into my emails. They concluded there was no case. He said the FBI was rigged. He lost the Iowa caucus. He lost the Wisconsin primary. He said the Republican primary was rigged against him. Then Trump University gets sued for fraud and racketeering. He claims the court system and the federal judge is rigged against him. There was even a time when he didn't get an Emmy for his TV program 3 years in a row, and he started tweeting that the Emmys were rigged against him.
Should have gotten it.
This is a mindset. This is how Donald thinks. And it's funny, also really troubling.
Okay.
Now, that is not the way our democracy works. We've been around for 240 years. We've had free and fair elections. We've accepted the outcomes when we may not have liked them. And that is what must be expected of anyone standing on a debate stage during a general election. You know, President Obama said the other day, when you're whining before
the game is even finished,
it just shows you're not up to doing the job. And let's be clear about what he is saying and what that means. He is denigrating. He's talking down our democracy. And I, for one, am appalled that somebody who is the nominee of one of our two major parties would take that kind of position.
I think what the FBI did and what the Department of Justice did, including meeting with her husband, the attorney general, in the back of an airplane on the tarmac in Arizona, I think it's disgraceful. I think it's a disgrace.
All right.
I think we've never had a situation
right.
so bad.
Hold on, folks.
All right. So there is something that came up yesterday. Well, last time I told you, my friend called me and told me about this clip, and I watched one of two clips. The name of the clip, and they've got it now on NPR, believe it or not, rigging the election one and rigging the election two out of the Veritas project. And it's sad that NPR even has to put the title up here. Sting video purports to show Democrats describing how to commit voter fraud. They actually describe committing voter fraud in it. And they also talk about how they send people into the Trump rallies to start fights so that they can say later, Donald Trump commits, creates all of these problems and it dangerous and all this. I don't think anybody has ever seen the level of corruption coming out of a campaign or a family than the Clintons have put up. It is absolutely, absolutely amazing. I'll take a break here. Be right back. Here's your weather. Here's a little bit about this story. I haven't even seen the second clip on this, but let me, here's a little bit from James O'Keefe. He's the one who does the hidden camera videos on, he does these stings, you know.
Hi, I'm James O'Keefe here. It's now 3:30 Eastern time. The story has been live since noon. This is the inciting violence. Hillary Clinton staffers working with the DNC to incite violence at Trump rallies. This video has taken off on social media. It's actually, according to the editors of Breitbart, most heavily trafficked story they've ever had, and it hasn't even been on Drudge yet. We're getting tweets, 50 tweets a second on my timeline here. It's blown up in the grassroots, but let me tell you something. Some sources told me that media corporations are blacklisting this story because they're publicly traded companies and they're afraid of being retaliated and investigated by Hillary Clinton's Department of Justice. So here's what I need you to do. I need you to tweet this video, this DNC and Hillary Clinton inciting violence video. I need you to tweet it at the anchors at places like Fox News, which is one of the corporations.
All right. So this video is absolutely shocking. I just played the beginning of it over again, and I can't play it for you because the guy begins to curse immediately. This is the guy doing this underground video, but check the this is basically what they're doing. Is there is this big connection between these PACs, these leftist PACs, and the party, and they're putting up fake walls in between them, and they're sending out thugs basically and actors. Actors and actresses, from what I understand from one of them, they sent a person to be a victim in one of these speeches. They sent him that you had to wait all day to get into the Trump rally and go to the front row. Once they're in the front row, then another person who's supposedly anti-Trump comes up and, they're on the same side, but they're pretending to be on opposite sides and they get in a fight. It's really, really shocking. It doesn't surprise me in the least, though. What I was telling you before, Marxist tactics are so much far advanced to the conservative movement. It's not funny, but here's a little bit from Hannity on this.
Coming to you live from the MGM Grand. We're in beautiful Las Vegas, where in less than 48 hours, Donald Trump and Hillary Clinton will face off in the third and final presidential debate right here on the Fox News channel. Also tonight, new information released by WikiLeaks could upend Clinton's presidential campaign. And today, the FBI releases documents related to the Clinton server investigation. And what did they uncover? But a quid pro quo offer. We'll explain that in just a few minutes. Newt Gingrich will also join us, as well as Laura Ingraham. But first tonight, we'll report what the mainstream media refuses to tell you. Now, get a pen and notepad ready. Throughout the program, we're going to put a lot of things up on the screen that you're going to want to see. Now, a shocking new undercover video from James O'Keefe's Project Veritas appears to show Democratic operatives admitting that they're responsible for stoking the violence that we have seen at Trump campaign rallies. Now, Fox News Channel has not independently verified the content in the video, but what was caught on tape is beyond disturbing. Watch this.
If you're there and you're protesting and you do these actions, mm-hmm. you will be attacked at some rally. That's what we know.
So that's part of the process of eliciting the reaction.
The whole point of it is we know that Trump's people would freak out, the security team will freak out, and his supporters will lose their.
This is Scott Fogel. He is the National Field Director for Americans United for Change. He used to work for People for the American Way, an organization funded by George Soros. He also has his own company called the Fogel Group. He is one of the dark operatives for the Clinton campaign.
We have contracted directly with the DNC and the campaign. Both.
Yeah.
I am contracted with him. Mm-hmm. But my, I answer to the head of special events for the DNC mm-hmm. and the head of the special events of the political for the campaign.
The campaign pays DNC pays democracy partners pays the Fogel Group.
All right, you probably have a little bit of a hard time hearing this. I can barely hear it myself, but basically this guy is saying, I've been hired by this group over here, but really I answer to the head of the party. So there's these fake firewalls between these groups, and this guy is, to put it into layman's terms, he's a person who sends thugs into rallies, into Trump rallies, to cause fights, and actors and actresses to pretend they've been beat up. It is extraordinary. And Clinton, when she was asked about it, I'll play you that in just a second. Well, it doesn't matter. She said, I can't comment. I don't know anything about it. I can't respond to every conspiracy theory, of course. 650. Hillary Clinton is worse on any subject than any finger she points at anybody else. That's the most amazing thing about this lady. She points fingers at the supposed bimbo, this touching by Trump that's already been disproved. And she was the political assassin against all of the women who her husband had molested and assaulted and raped. Instead of talking him into going to get treatment for his sex addiction, she acted as a gatekeeper. Very sad. 651. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450. All right, folks. So sorry about that. We've got they've rebuilt the machine, but there's still some things to take care of. One of which is there's these ads that pop out. We do public service ads, and which are time fillers, really. And anyway, let me play you something here on asking Hillary whether she. Hold on a second, right here. I will find this puppy. All right, yeah, right here. They are asking her about this conspiracy to overthrow the election by using, in part, these thugs at the Trump rally to make it look like his followers are violent.
Hillary Clinton is talking. Let's listen in.
You know, being in court about Trump University or losing the Iowa caucus in the Wisconsin primary or losing Emmys, for goodness sake, he says that it's rigged against him.
How did you feel when he said, you know, nasty woman, and you're a puppet? And
Vladimir Putin. Yeah, I just didn't pay any attention to that. I was very concerned that even now, after 17 intelligence agencies in our government, both military and civilian, have confirmed that Russia has engaged in cyber attacks against Americans, that he refused to admit that it's true and condemn it for what it is, which is a blatant effort to try to interfere in our elections.
She looks, I mean, just standing there looking, she looks like she's starting to get really tired, and her eyes are kind of, I don't know, they look strange. You know, this idea that she's got to be on drugs to be up speaking, I think, has definitely got something to it.
The revelation that it is from your praise for Goldman Sachs bankers to Podesta calling Bernie Sanders a doofus will make it harder for you if you win to rally the liberal base around your agenda and your appointment.
Not at all. Bernie Sanders is out there working hard every day to get me elected. I'm looking forward to working with everybody in our party. But as I said in the closing, which they gave us at the last minute, I'm reaching out to all Americans, Democrats, Republicans, and Independents. I want to summon every American to, you know, use his or her talents and energy and ambition to really help our country. And that's what I'm going to be.
Are you worried
about?
Are you worried about
Democratic operatives are supposed to, if they are found to have, you know, I know nothing about this. I'm not, you know, I can't deal with every one of his conspiracy theories. But I hope you all have something to eat.
So a conspiracy theory, but it's proved they are in on this. Here's one last shot on abortion. I thought this was pretty good from Trump.
Particularly on this issue of late-term partial birth.
Well, I think it's terrible. If you go with what Hillary is saying, in the ninth month, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb of the mother just prior to the birth of the baby. Now, you can say that that's okay. And Hillary can say that that's okay, but it's not okay with me, because based on what she's saying and based on where she's going and where she's been, you can take the baby and rip the baby out of the womb in the ninth month on the final day. And that's not acceptable.
Well, that is not what happens in these cases. And using that kind of scare rhetoric is just terribly unfortunate. You should meet with some of the women that I've met with, women I've known over the course of my life. This is one of the worst possible choices that any woman and her family has to make. And I do not believe the government should be making it. You know, I've had the great honor of traveling across the world on behalf of our country. I've been to countries where governments either forced women to have abortions like they used to do in China, or forced women to bear children like they used to do in Romania. And I can tell you, the government has no business in the decisions that women make with their families, in accordance with their faith, with medical advice. And I will stand up for that.
So there's a place where she, like I was telling you, she got very, very angry. She sounded angry during a lot of the debate. We'll take a break here, and we've got a couple of guys coming on, one of which Ben Rossin. We'll be right back. AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. Take you out with some Dave Brubeck. Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, 523 1450 on KOBE. I do want to remind you there's going to be hell to pay if this lady gets into office, because I'm thinking the whole time I'm watching her, if she doesn't make the decisions, if she's too sick, who takes over for her if she's not officially incapacitated? It's a very huge question to me, folks. Well, good morning, and of course it is the 20th October, and the headlines on the Drudge: Russia taunts USA with biggest military offensive since the Cold War. Maybe Putin's getting tired of getting kicked around on the debate stage by Hillary, but in the meantime, we've got and I've got a couple of guys here in the studio. One's Rick Little, and the other one is of course Ben Rossin, who sponsors the show and has been so supportive of keeping the conservative voice out there. And we've got these guys in the wings. I just want to put this out there for you. There's a massive movement to affect this election, some of which clearly is going over into illegality. And I'm just hoping that it's not happening in our own county. And good morning, guys. Good morning, Ben.
Good morning, Kelly.
Good morning. Yeah.
Thanks for coming on the show with at late notice, Rick.
No problem. Glad to be here.
Okay, so Rossin report this morning. What are we going to talk about?
Well, Kelly, I've got two things to focus on this morning. The first one is the Unified Development Code. Last Thursday, the Planning and Zoning passed the Unified Development Code, and it's now coming to the County Commission. It's on our agenda for Tuesday at 9 a.m. and our regular County Commission meeting at the County Building on Motel Boulevard, and we will be voting on whether or not to publish that we're going to take a vote at a future meeting. And that's the standard process for an ordinance. It allows the public to make sure to know what's going on and have two opportunities. So that'll be an important meeting. Kelly, to give you an idea, just in the last week, I've gotten 73 emails from people in Talavera who are upset because this would allow mobile homes to be placed in Talavera.
So what is the main thing that they're – what do you think the main thing that is the concern? There's got to be more than just – mobile homes.
Well, I think the main thing for the Talavera community that they're concerned about is the mobile homes. That's gotten them up in arms, and I'm optimistic that we may be able to change that before.
Well, they're concerned that they're losing control of their land and their area.
They're losing control of the land and the area. They're concerned that they bought into an area that that had high property values, and they're concerned that this would lower those property values. Absolutely.
Now, do you hear that and think, well, these guys are you know, they should be more open-minded. They don't have a right to react this way. What's your analysis? You know what I'm saying? I mean, we have the trailer capital of the country. There's more trailers used as domiciles as any percentage-wise as any place in the nation. So who are they to turn up their nose? I mean, there's probably two sides to this, but I would be probably on the side of if I built my house in an area that increased its value, I'd like to keep the value.
I think that's a very good, valid point, Kelly. And there's a lot of covenants through Talavera that don't allow mobile homes, but the county doesn't enforce covenants. So even though you might have a covenant on the books, that would still not prevent someone from coming to the county, getting a permit, and then proceeding with the regular zonings. In the case as it's written right now, which would allow mobile homes, and I am optimistic that we can get that changed, but then if someone put a mobile home on and you said, hey, this is against the covenants, we need to do something about it, you would have to file a civil suit against them to bring them into compliance with the covenants.
Enforcement. And at that point, the thing could already be built.
Absolutely. And then I think that becomes a challenge for the new resident who came in, thought they were doing what was allowed, and now has the penalty on their back. So I think it's a lot better if we get this Unified Development Code correct at the beginning, and don't just approve it so we can find out what the problems are in it. You know, Kelly, when I first looked at the map for Talavera on Thursday, when it was given to me, or Friday, by county staff, I brought this up immediately, and the response I got was, well, we never thought of that. And Kelly, I have to wonder what other things are in this document that people just haven't thought about, because we have not had a good, thorough review of this document. Now, county staff is quick to point out that there's been hundreds of meetings and thousands of people involved. But keep in mind that most of those meetings, there was no document even to look at. This document has only come out recently for people to be able to review.
All right. So, and this is the problem with unwritten laws and agreements, is that you can't study them and they can change.
Absolutely. And there's a provision in there for the county staff to be able to make changes to this document after the fact. That's something I'm adamantly opposed to. When we're talking about creating law, the only people that should be creating law for the county are the county commissioners. We should be putting that law into effect. Staff shouldn't be changing that. And Representative Little, the same thing on the state side. You know, you as the legislature make laws. You don't need staff changing those laws after you've made them.
And that's a big problem because unintended consequences of the laws, and we've passed so many that have had unintended consequences. Our liquor license law is a main one. And this reminds me of Nancy Pelosi, where you just, well, you know, we'll just sign it and then we'll figure out what's in it.
OMG. All right. So, well, it's, I think they call it in the old days, lex non scripta, the unwritten law can come back to bite you. So what is a way to deal with this?
So we're going to have, as I mentioned, there will be two meetings. The first one will be on Tuesday, this coming Tuesday at 9 a.m. at the county building, where we'll be voting on to publish and to announce a date on when we'll be taking another vote. My understanding is that staff is recommending that second vote to be on November 29th at 1 p.m. And so that'll be the second meeting. Of course, that meeting is not set in stone until the county commission sets or decides that date. But there will be two opportunities for people to come out and be a part of the process.
And for people that are opposed to it and feel like they were sold a bill of goods and they're starting to feel bitter about getting, you know, maybe ripped off or lied to, what would you say to those people?
I think it's important to get involved. Contact your county commissioner. Contact me and help give me the information and the ammo to fight for you.
Phone number.
My phone number is 575-644-4055. That's my cell phone, 644-4055.
Okay, guys, I want to throw this open to you because it's just coming out in the media. We've been told 2 million dead people could be registered across the United States. We know that there have been problems in Sunland Park at various levels. The chaparral is kind of an untrammeled. It's an area that is kind of, you know, it's a great place to live, I'm sure, because it's kind of rural. But you sometimes wonder about the control in some of these areas that are halfway between a city and a colonia, really. What are your thoughts about the possibility of voter fraud in this area, Rick?
Well, I'll tell you, my grandfather lived out in Chaparral, was on the voting rolls for 10 years after he had passed away.
But now, who did he tend to go for after that?
Well, I'll tell you, if we had wanted to, with the way voting is in the state of New Mexico, he could have, myself, my father, anybody just could have gone down and voted in him, just said we were who we said we were and put a address down there, and guess what? You're able to vote. And I believe it's a real problem. The state of New Mexico, what would help it a little bit was for us to get voter ID in this state. We have a process to where all you do is sign the bottom of a piece of paper and you become a voter. And I believe we had some problems in the last presidential election, as a matter of fact, in my election where I lost. I think there was a lot of this going on, as a matter of fact.
Well, and I think people are kind of conflating a couple of different issues, one of which is voting and the other one is basically ID for people that are not citizens. And they're putting them they're two separate issues.
Yes, no, and that's absolutely right. And, you know, when you have to have an ID to buy cigarettes, buy alcohol, you go to the bank. If you want to take your SAT test as a college student, you have to have it. Everything to use a credit card in most cases now, they're making you put ID out there. And then this would be a minor thing. And then getting an ID, you know, voter suppression, you know, some people aren't going to be able to vote, older people especially.
You mentioned Chaparral. How about Sunland Park? There have been so many inconsistent things over the last few years, illegal, politically related stuff.
And I think part of that was in the last presidential election, I believe that there were people going around trying to register voters. And in doing so, wanting to do the right thing and wanting people to vote. I understand that. But there's three checks. Marks on the your voter ID paperwork that you have to turn in, and if you do not sign or check the three boxes, which one is you're being a resident, being 18 years old, and being a citizen of this country, and if you don't check those boxes, all you have to do is go around and say, you know, just sign the bottom, we'll make you a voter, and I believe that was happening.
I wonder how big the problem is.
That, you know, without it being checked by our county clerk as far as who's legal and who's not, or whether residences add up and if they don't, and who's voting and who's not, and we don't have a check on that. And that's something that needs to happen also, I think, at our county clerk's office.
And we're talking to Rick Little, who's running for District 53. And this is what's the area that represents?
I live in Chaparral, so it's Chaparral. It is the East Mesa of Las Cruces. It goes just right around the Organs over to the East Mesa. And then it's White Sands Missile Range, Holloman Air Force Base, and a little bit of Alamogordo, which is the Bowles Acres area out there, which is mostly rural. It's all about the same type of an area.
That's a pretty big area.
It is big, and when people talk about knocking doors to talk to your constituents, this is driving doors. So,
absolutely. And have you been out knocking doors?
Yes, I've probably hit about 2,500 doors so far. Probably hit another 500 before the election's out. I like to talk to my constituents and see where they're at, see what they'd like us to do. And
Rick, some of the what are some of the things that you hear on a regular basis?
Well, most of the stuff really has to do with the county. And our area, we have a lot of dirt roads. Dirt roads need to be done. One of the things that we put forth to the county commission is the sewer system was mandated for Chaparral way back about 10 years ago and by a whole different county commission. And they put in phase one, and then we've been sitting there ever since. Well, I take that back. We did a little section out there, which would phase two. It wasn't supposed to be phase two, but it ended up being phase two. But we've done two little pieces of Chaparral, and we're paving roads, as a matter of fact, where we don't have the sewer lines underneath. And I think our county commissioners would think they're doing us a turn by paving these roads to keep the dust down, but then and make it better on our cars, but then we don't have the sewer under. So now we're going to have to, it's double the money now. We get to tear out the road, put in a sewer underneath it before we can, and then pave it back over, which is a waste of taxpayer money.
Somehow that's not surprising. I don't know why, but it seems like the way things are done around here. We'll take a break, and we've got Ben Rossin and Rick Little. And Rick, campaign contact info.
You know, if you Rick Little for rep, go to my website. I live right out in Chaparral, but all the information is on my website. And most of my constituents, I've been handing out my material to them, so they have it.
All right, and we've got Ben Ross, and we'll be right back in just a moment. It is 720 Kelly O'Connell Show, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 on the 20th of October. Real nice outside, and we're in the middle of the Rossin Report with a special guest, Rick Little, District All right. So we have got the Rossin Report here, Ben Rossin and Rick Little. And this is the kind of the camp, the election of a lifetime.
Yeah, Kelly, it is for me.
Are people lashing out at either candidate? Do you hear people talk about, I mean, are they saying, I wish this election was over already? I hate both of them. This is something I hear all the time. If you try to engage anybody on Trump or Hillary, they'll more than likely say, I hate both of them. It's kind of funny.
And you know what? In my area specifically, that is the case where it's, you know, it's what do you do? It's kind of the better of two evils, I guess you could put it in that direction. But I will tell you that I have had a lot of people because of freedom and the if you don't look at Trump as character, I mean, both characters are bad. And the things that he wants to do and the things that he stands for, whether you believe he's going to do it later on or not, there's only one way to go in this election.
Yeah, absolutely. We've got a phone call. Thanks for the call, the Kelly O'Connell Show. Who's this?
This is Connie.
Good morning, Connie. Hope you're well. Thanks for the call. And what's on your mind?
Well, I was just wanted to comment on your conversation on the voter ID issue.
Yeah, go ahead.
Well, I think it's a great idea. And I just want to relate a situation that happened to me. It's been, well, since the 2008 election. But when I went on voting day to vote, they told me, and I went on my lunch hour, they told me that I had already voted. And, of course, I was shocked because I had been at work since 7:30 that morning. And they gave me a provisional ballot, they called it. And so I called the State Bureau of Elections, and they told me there was nothing that they could do about it.
Did they hit the button for the laugh track then or what? I mean, that's crazy.
Yeah, and I called our county clerk because that's what they told me I needed to do. And I called every day and left messages. Nobody would answer the phone there. And so I never got the situation resolved.
I think it's because Lynn Ellens is in his 90s, but he probably would take a nap. But all right.
Yeah.
So you get your vote ripped off. It is happening during the election. You try to get somebody to pay attention to it. You call the proper authorities, and they don't do any. They don't even seem concerned.
Right. Nobody seemed to really care. Obviously, the county clerk didn't because. You know, somebody should have called me back because I did state what my issue was on my message.
Well, maybe they don't care. I'm going to ask Ben Rossin, what's your reaction to this?
You know, Kelly, it's a problem, and that's why Representative Little is talking about voter ID, and that's something that needs to be done at the state level. But, Kelly, I'd point out that we've had over 6,000 people that have already voted in the first week of early voting in Doñana County. And so for people need to get out there and vote and make sure that someone else doesn't vote in their place.
Vote. Yeah. I guess the message, the theme is vote for yourself before somebody else does it for you.
That's what I've been doing. That's what I've been doing in the last few elections is going, if I can, the first day of early voting to make sure that, you know, I actually get a vote.
Well, that's a good theory. Connie, any opinion on whether the cemeteries in this area are more Democrat or Republican?
I don't have any idea. I haven't scouted those out.
Okay. You know, and I will say it is a problem, and this is not the first time this has happened. We had some of those in Albuquerque, I know, last time, and I can't believe it. I think maybe we had one in Chaparral where you know, you go in to vote and it's your vote and somebody's already voted in your place, and then you get the provisional. Now, on that provisional, my question would be, now is that provisional even taken as a vote? Because now your slot has voted twice. Which vote are they going to take? If yours is provisional, are they going to take the other one or not? And that's the bad thing about the way our voting system works right now. And that's the way the policy is. So the clerk can say, well, you know, that's just the way we do it. And so it's too bad. Well, somebody needs to be checking on whether these voters are true voters or not.
Sounds like somebody needs to check on the clerk as well.
Connie, anything else?
No, I just want to say that I'm a Trump supporter, and I hope he wins.
God bless you, Connie. Thanks for calling in, and it's an interesting story. Okay. Have a great day. Thanks for being a listener.
Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye. All right, so guys, how big of an issue it makes me wonder. You can have somebody vote for you, and they say the fraudulent vote is the only one that matters. That seems insane.
It absolutely does. And the fact of the matter is, without any checks and balances, what do you do? This is a system. They tell you this is a system. This is the way it is. If we had voter ID, I think that would help us a lot.
And we got another call. Thanks for the call. The Kelly O'Connell Show is this.
It's Mike.
Mike, thanks for calling in. Hope you're well. And what's on your mind?
Two things. First is the Talavera people, they better start right now selling their houses. We live in town, downtown, and we tried to fight this mobile home coming in, and they snuck it in on a Thursday on a holiday weekend, and that was it. No way we could get it out. Brought all the property values down. And, you know, there's nobody fighting for us. There's nobody fighting for anything that we want to happen for the good of the people. We voted against the gross receipts tax raise. It got raised. We're being charged $14,000 a day. I drive by those buses. There's nobody on the buses. It's ridiculous. We have no representation. I appreciate Ben. I appreciate all the guys doing their best, but
it's Mike, not enough, is it, Mike?
Mike, your group is more than welcome to come on this show and put forward what you've been through and what your aspirations are and how you feel like you've been wronged.
I mean, everybody in the county's been wrong. It's not just me. When we vote against something with our right to vote and the county commission still violates that vote, what's the point, guys? What's the point?
Absolutely.
We gotta keep fighting, though. If bad stuff is happening, and you know, I mean, the fact of the matter is, we've had a lot of bad leadership in this county. I mean, you don't people know that just by the fact that somebody out there at the top of the government is saying this is a no growth area. I mean, can you imagine a doctor coming into a nursery full of babies and saying, "Moms, dads, this is a no growth area"? That'd be absurd.
Yeah, I can, because they're all on Medicaid. And we're just doubling up the taxes more to pay for it. I mean, there's businesses that I would like to start in this county, in this city. And, you know, it's not about emotion, guys. It's all about numbers. And they make no sense. You know, people are moving out of this county and people are moving away from here to get more progress moving, because that's what it takes. You want to try to open a business here? You can't. The impact fees are so high. You can't, because the taxes are so high. You vote against the tax raises. Guess what? They just give you a big old thumbs up and they raise your taxes anyways. You know, we've got people in there trying to represent us. I think you guys should try to find a way to make it where people that are going to be on the county commission have had to live here for at least 5 years.
Yeah.
Because these people are coming in from out of state. They have all kinds of money backing them. And, you know, the good people, whether you're a Democrat or you're Republican, we are all here for one purpose, and that's to do the good of all people in this county, whether you're black, whether you're white, whether you're Democrat, whether you're Republican. It's time for us to stop this nonsense and start doing what's right for the people.
I hear you, Mike. And this colonialism, this bizarre far-leftist colonialism that Wayne Hancock represents, and he's going to be moving back to Carpetbagger City, Florida, any day now. I think you're 100% right. Ben?
You know, Mike, I appreciate you bringing that up. We've got some great candidates running for county commission. Kim Hakes is a wonderful candidate. Kim has been here for several decades. He's been in the banking industry, but he's also been the chairman of the board for MMC and been very involved in our community. So he'll be a great county commissioner. Isabella Solis is another real good one. She moved here about 12 years ago, dealing with the hatch floods that we had. And so she understands the area well, and I think we've got some great candidates, but it is important to get out and vote, and hopefully you've already voted this year.
Rick Little.
You know, I'm glad you brought up the bus system.
The ghost fleet, the Dona Ana ghost fleet.
That's absolutely it. I will tell you, we had a pilot program out in Chaparral that ran for three months, I guess, and nobody rode the bus. We had it was on the ballot, and the county of Dona Ana decided that they didn't want to pay for it and didn't think it was something that we needed right now. And then I will tell you right now, we have a bus system in Chaparral. So our county commission decided that whether the people wanted it or whether it was good for us, it was going to happen. And the reason nobody rides it in Chaparral is because we are way out there. We don't have a lot of facilities. So guess what? People drive. You have to have a vehicle. And the alternative to this would be we have Uber in this state now, and we have SafeRide. Now, if you're underprivileged or you can't, the cost is prohibitive. Why have a bus run three trips around to Anthony every day, got to get off, come to Las Cruces or go down to Sunland when you can get a ride that takes you where you got to go and takes you back? And even if the state paid for it, it'd be a lot cheaper.
Mike, anything else?
Yeah, I would really like to see what's going on with, you know, if you guys get into office and, well, I know that you're not running for county commission, but, you know, I'm a debt-free kind of guy. You know, with debt, you have nothing. The debtor is slave to the lender. And I'm very concerned about our county.
That's right.
Very much so. Thanks for the call, Mike. You and your group are more than welcome to come on the show and talk about the Talavera catastrophe. Okay, folks, we'll take a break here. And are you going to take off? Thanks for coming on the show. Thanks for sponsoring the show.
Absolutely, Kelly. Glad to be here.
And anything going on at Rawson's Builder Supply?
You know, Kelly, if you're looking at replacing molding or trim, a lot of people think of us for doors and windows, but we do a lot of interior trim work as well. And so if you've got anything you're needing, come on by and see us. We'd be glad to help you.
Okay. Are you ever there in an apron?
You know, I'm not there in an apron, but I am there, Kelly.
Thanks so much. And folks, we'll be right back with Rick Little, and he's going to fill you in a little more on his campaign and the election and what we're fighting for. 736 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. Be right back. We're here with Rick Little. We just did the Rawson Report. Rick is in currently serving in District 53, and he's running for re-election. Now, I'm going to ask you something, Rick. They say all politics are local. What argument would you use for somebody who's maybe Democrat and thinking, I have to vote the party line? Why should they support you?
Well, Let me first say that there's a lot of good things going on. We have been doing the same thing in the state government for the last 60 years.
Well, you know what Heraclitus said, to do the same thing over and over again, expect a different result, is the definition of insanity.
That's absolutely right. And we've got some good changes going on now that we have taken the House for, we've just had it for the last two sessions, which is one term, but we've got some good things going as far as trying to bring business, economic opportunity, those type of things. I mean, the economy is the main thing right now. I'm a guy of liberty and your personal rights and those kind of things, and I'm a conservative. But the main, if we don't get jobs for folks, I mean, you know, we're losing it. Matter of fact, the state of New Mexico is losing people instead of gaining people at the
now,
moment.
And this is the thing. If this goes for any living entity, if you're not growing, you're dying. If you're not replacing cells, if you're not, you know, and continuing with your health, if we are losing people, that's a disaster.
It absolutely is. And that's one of the reasons that one of our main concerns right now, and as far as if you watch what we're doing up for legislation, and I think one of those things, prevailing wage, right to work, would help, because it would drop the amount that the government has to pay, because where does most of those contracts go? Schools, government roads, I mean, those type of things that we're building. And if we can bring those costs down, but still have a living wage, you know, people talk about a living wage and minimum wage.
That all has to do with standard of living. I mean, very few people in this country that I'm aware of are starving to death. If you go to some of the less expensive eateries like McDonald's, it's obesity that's the problem.
And not only that, it's in our schools. You know, when I hear this the ad on here that, you know, 1 in 5 children or 1 in 6 children are going hungry, I'm thinking, let's see, as a community, we feed them at our schools twice a day. And we've got a bunch of waste over there. And then I have been to missions field in Africa. And let me tell you, there's no obesity over there. They don't have enough to eat. And you can tell it over here. whatever we're doing, it seems to be we have a problem with obesity now, and so we've got to change some of the things we're doing.
But. All right, and some of the issues. Because I got behind on my brakes. Let me take a break, but let me come back and talk to you about what is some of the overriding issues to you now. This term and the reason you got into politics in the first place. 743, Rick Little is on District 53. He's trying to go back in, and if you can find a person who believes in citizen representation, not a career politician, but somebody wants to go in and serve, you need to try to keep that person in there. 743 AM Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523-1450 on KOBE. Folks, we're here with Rick Little. That's got to happen a lot, the famous comedian, but not comedy this time, Rick Little. But 72% of the people in a poll have said they're concerned over voter security. And Rick, why would it be important? What's the issues? Why would it be important to support you this time around?
I would say, Kelly, one of the main things is our economy right now. That's one of the main issues. And a lot of people look at education, but let's go with economy first. One of the things we're doing and that I'm doing as a part of the legislature is to try to narrow down government. Government is way too big. We've had and you notice by us going back to the legislature, having to cut the budget. The government should have never been that big in the first place. We should have been keeping monies aside, doing what we needed to do to make things work.
You get free money out of the gas and oil. The tendency is to celebrate and go spend it.
And that's exactly what government does. And so I am trying to combine departments. I am trying to narrow down our scope of what government is supposed to do. You know, the federal government, when we look at the Constitution, was what limit government for the things they should
do. All right, so this is for everybody out there. A constitution is written to protect the people from the power of the government.
That's absolutely correct. Now, when you get into state governments now, that's a little bit different. They have to say what they're going to do, like education and those type of issues. But the underlying theme is the federal government, the Constitution, and that's how we got it became a state. We have to use those ideology first and then do the other things. But the federal government has gotten into way too many things. It shouldn't be in education. It shouldn't be in our healthcare plan. It shouldn't be in our retirement plan. As a matter of fact, you could have made more money by putting your money into the stock market than the Social Security.
And but I got to ask you one thing: if you, as the representative for this area, and you're the people's representative because you're in the House as opposed to the Senate, you're representing directly the people, their wishes, etc. If the economy was stronger, would that help you to upgrade and develop your area?
Absolutely, it would. And bringing business to Chaparral, the East Mesa area, is and even Alamogordo area is really important to me. As a matter of fact, I am the interim chairman of Economic and Rural Development right now because I feel like that's such an important thing for this state. And if we don't bring jobs here, and that's the main thing about economic development, to bring the jobs, get people. If people are helping the system instead of having to rely on the system, we'll have a lot better. And we can then have more programs and things to help those who can't help themselves.
Yeah. And if you have more job growth and you have more, therefore, tax revenue, then you can grow the area. You can do upgrades on the roads. And I know that's one issue out in Chaparral.
Our main area in Chaparral, East Mesa and Alamogordo, as a matter of fact, my whole district, roads, we've got dirt roads. We've got the roads out there like Arroyo, which you can, if it rains, you cannot go down it because it is an arroyo.
Yeah.
And I've been talking to the county commission. One of our problems too is we have roads that are private roads. They were never, the contractor was a long time ago. The contractor never got them turned over to the county. And so the county will not grade those roads or won't even keep them up. And I'm trying to get them eminent domain or something. Everybody up there wants to have a road and they don't mind giving up that little piece of property that they own up half the road.
I mean, you know, that is pretty much written into all of this land. You know, when they plat these roads out, that's it's assumed that at some point the city or the county is going to own it.
Absolutely, because you pay the same taxes as everybody else, and they have roads. But these private roads, or the other thing they could do is put, how about 51% of the people on a street having to say they want a street, which is the majority, rather than trying to get 100%. You can't ever find 100% of the people on a street.
No.
So that's something I'm dealing with the county with. Out in Chaparral, I think our main thing, we had the first section of a sewer system has gone in 10 years ago. And now we're having to deal with, the county is paving roads over top of dirt roads that don't have the sewer under it. Now, when we put the sewer in, they're going to have to.
That's like third world.
Well, it is. And what a waste of taxpayer money. We should put the sewer lines in first. If they'd have taken the last four or five roads we had and put the sewer first, that money would have paid for the next section of the sewer system.
So these are everyday common. And really, it sounds like some of the problems are caused by bad government.
Well, it is, and even flood control up on the East Mesa and Alamogordo, the East Mesa Alamogordo that I have. I put money on flood control both times I've been in office, because unless you get the flood taken care of, why put the infrastructure in? It's first things first.
Yeah.
And we've got to get back to doing that as government.
Vicious cycle. We'll take our last break here and come back and finish up with Rick a little. 752 Kelly O'Connelly in Las Cruces, AM 1450, 523 1450. Rick Little is in District 53, and your website is?
Rick Little for Rep, F-O-R Rep.
Is it too late to put a sign in a yard?
At Gmail. No, I've got them in the back of my truck right now, and as I knock on doors, I'm asking anybody if you want to sign. We've got signs up the East Mesa and all out in Chaparral, right. Alamogordo.
All right, we'll be right back. We're here with Rick Little, and when you hear these attack ads that have come out of the East Coast, out of New York, out of these PACs, one's owned by Michael Bloomberg, the mayor of New York, and another one is some union enterprise out of Far East. What do you think?
Well, it's unfortunate that these things come out, and these are not even local areas, as a matter of fact, that are putting these attack ads out. But especially, and I will just say, I think that one at Dr. McMillan just played, but I mean, these are things where you dig up stuff and then you put the spin on it to where it may not even be true, but you're going to put the accusation out there and people believe it. We had that problem with our ethics bill that I voted no on, as a matter of fact. And now I did put in another bill. Representative Zimmerman and myself put in another ethics bill that I was better than the bill that was out there. But fact of the matter is, the accusation goes out there. And people believe it because they believe the media is got it, and whatever they hear out there, it must be true. So they're going to believe that.
You see the media coming out of the at least out of the internet and then maybe out of Fox News. There's a widespread attempt to, from one party, to discredit the other using any means possible. And the Democrats, and this is, I'll say this, I've said it before, I've said it again. If somebody's a Democrat, I don't look down on them. I don't disagree with them. I hate the GOP in general, but the party at the highest levels is exceedingly, the one of them is just broken and the other one is exceedingly corrupt. These are desperate times, but I don't look down on anybody who's a Democrat. There's a lot of people that listen to this show who are Democrats and I celebrate that. But this is a tough time we're in.
Well, and it is. And, the thing that I talk about, and I'm a Republican, so when I'm out there talking to my constituents, my whole thing is I believe that there are a lot of good-natured of Democrats that want to do the right thing. But is the handout the right thing, or is teaching somebody, giving somebody a hand up rather than a handout?
Teach them to fish instead of giving them a fish. But I think there's a lot of people out there, they're waiting for a better way. They know there's a lot of poor people in this society here that where we live, and if you explain to them it's the government's fault, they're still going to say, well, we got to support them. So we got to build a better community through, and part of that is through supporting business.
And that's absolutely right. If we can support business and can support jobs, then that will give somebody a job, and rather than being on the system, they can be helping the system. I totally believe that is one of the major problems that we have here, because New Mexico is a little bit behind as far as our economic development and those kind of things at this particular time, only because oil and gas is down and we need to fix it.
Rick Little,
District 53, and there's still time to help with the campaign. And there's still time to have a sign in your contact one more time.
Absolutely. And it's Rick Little for Rep. And I've got signs, and I'm still talking to my constituents. We'll be around. And telephone number, 575-824-4063.
One more time.
575-824-4063.
Thanks for coming on the show.
Thank you.
Folks, I'll take you out with some Dave Brubeck, Kelly O'Connell, AM Las Cruces, AM 1450. And we'll meet you back in 22 hours. Ciao. Go online, go on to Google, go into YouTube and look up Veritas. You will be astounded at what's going on at the highest levels of the Democratic Party.